Sure, she's making it her storyline, but I don't think she's deceiving us. I think that she really has trauma from her relationship with Randall. And I think that she can't imagine, right after all of that, starting to date one person so seriously. Like, we know she's dated around and hooked up and stuff like that, but to date one person, I think to her, she finds that crazy.
Welcome to Cocktails and Gossip, the podcast where we drink cocktails, but you better believe we're going to spill the tea. We chat reality TV, celebrity blinds, and the hottest tea from BravoandCocktails.com. And as always, it's all alleged and just for fun. We do not verify our blinds. I'm B.
And I'm Amanda. Let's get into this week's tea.
What's up, cocktailers and Amanda?
Hi, cocktailers. Hi, B.
How are you feeling?
Well, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good, but Amanda may have Montezuma's revenge.
I don't know. I just haven't been feeling good this week. So, yeah, no, I'm totally fine. I've been working and stuff. But, yeah, I just, you know, sometimes you just don't feel so good when you come back from Mexico. So,
you know what it is? It's like we can still party like we used to, but the recovery time is becoming unreasonable.
You know, if this were a hangover, I would be really worried because today is Thursday. I have not had anything to drink since Sunday, maybe Saturday. So
yeah,
I can't be. I don't think it's – I don't know. Or, you know, kids are, you know, complete germ plates, and so it could have gotten a little something from one of the kids. Who knows? Okay, but kind of – rewinding me back to us talking about this and me coming in cold, not knowing what was going on, I'd wanted to kind of circle back on what we started the pod out with last week. So when we were recording, you had literally just that morning gotten intel that Joe Bradley, so Joey Bottles, which Andy was calling him Joey Jokes or Joe Joke.
He's not even significant enough in the Bravo sphere for Andy to know his nickname.
Joey Joke Man, or I forget what the word was, but I was like, where did that nickname come from? Because like Joe says on the show, his name is Joey Bottles. But Joe from Southern Hospitality, who has been dating Danielle from Summer House, we talked about how Joe and Luann, who had been on Watch What Happens Live together, hooked up and that he slept at her apartment. Now, we had not yet seen, obviously, the Watch What Happens Live episode because it was pre-recorded and it aired later that night. And here we came with the hot tea before we'd even seen the show. So we were unclear if Danielle was there with him in the audience because we hadn't seen it yet. But then watching the show that night, we learned that, yes, she was.
And a lot of you guys, a lot of our listeners and cocktailers were confused because they were like, why do you and Amanda keep saying, I wonder if Danielle's there? And that's because it had aired. Luann and him had allegedly hooked up. But we didn't know if Danielle was in the audience because Luann and Joe did not post a picture with her, as they sometimes do, ahead of it.
Right.
And it aired the night we recorded. So we record afternoon and then it airs at 9:10 at night depending on the evening. So that is why nobody had seen
on Wednesday.
Nobody knew, you know, because nobody had seen Watch What Happens Live yet.
Which, why is it still called Watch What Happens Live when they pre-record a lot of their stuff?
So that started in COVID, and I think that, and I can relate to this, and I know Amanda can, and I'm sure a lot of other parents out there, I think that with Andy having two kids, it probably is more convenient to just a daddy schedule that sometimes it is live and sometimes it's pre-recorded. Yeah, and also it's
– no one would fault Andy for that, for sure.
And also scheduling-wise, right? Like, let's say Joe Bradley was in town to promote XYZ. And so it's like, all right, let's get it in the can for Friday night. It's only a couple of days. So it's still fresh content. Nobody was expecting him to bang Luann and have that all come out in a 12-hour span from when they recorded to when they – well, a 24-hour span from when they recorded. Not even, because it was late night. From when they recorded to when it aired, nobody thought anything would transpire. But here we have our messy Bravo Lebs, who can't keep anything in a can because they're always up to some nonsense.
And I mean, watching it, like, Luann was full on hitting on him from start to end. Like, full on, full court Luann press.
Watching it was much more damning, in my opinion, because Danielle was in the audience and both.
Yeah.
I mean, and followers strongly agreed with this, Amanda. They kept messaging me that if they didn't believe it before, they definitely felt that she, Luann, had the – because also what we said on the pod was like, oh, if Danielle wasn't there, Luann probably thought he was some single guy. Oh, no. But
– oh, no.
I mean, we were reminded of all the shady ways that Luann got with many of Sonia's men and other women's men over the years. So she has it in her. Clearly, Joe had it in him. They were outright disrespectful right in front of Danielle. Okay, so Danielle's at Watch What Happens Live. And the next question that that I keep getting, like, if they were at the show together – wouldn't they have all gone out together? Well, clearly, whether Danielle went out for a little while or after Watch What Happens Live had to go back, Danielle lives, and so this is like local, yokel stuff. Danielle lives in Brooklyn, Williamsburg, very cool area, gentrification. Every state has it in their cities and whatever. A lot of young professionals live in the boroughs now. So she lives in Williamsburg. Not that it's far, but it's not down the block. It's not a quick, you know, it's a 20 minute, whatever, or more.
Yeah.
So it could totally be that Joe had an early call time and he was like, listen, I'm going to stay at the Comte Hotel Bravo got me. And Danielle was like, I have a work meeting at 8 a.m. I have to be home. It's a Zoom meeting or whatever it is. So they parted ways, right? Totally feasible. Yeah. They are not in a serious relationship. So it's not like,
well. But remember, so one of the viewers asked, like, what – or Andy asked. He's like, have you guys defined the relationship? And Joe looks like a freaking deer in headlights. Literally doesn't say anything. And the camera goes to Danielle. Danielle answers it from the audience and says, well, we're not seeing other people. And he, like, still doesn't really say anything. So it felt very, like – and watching it, because I didn't watch it until, like, this week once I got back from my trip. And watching it, I'm like, oh, and then I remember we were talking about how he had given that interview 2 days before his Watch What Happens Live that just came out, said that they were no longer – really seeing each other.
And right. So, and I don't think Danielle knew. So I don't think Danielle knew about that article because basically, so after we recorded, so here's where we get tripped up. And Amanda and I were just talking about this offline together. We get tripped up because we're damned if we do, we're damned if we don't. I knew, and Amanda knew, walking into last week's episode, that we had a lot of scoop that really didn't make much sense yet. But if we don't record it, we're going to have to wait an entire week and it gets stale. And seeing as how we were the first outlet to post anything about it because I had sources, trusted sources in the know from both parties, both Joe and Luann gave me intel, okay? Say it as simply as that. I didn't know all the puzzle pieces. I didn't even know about the Us Weekly article because that dropped the day Watch What Happens Live aired, which was after Danielle said, we're not seeing other people. So this poor girl was totally blindsided. So she's hearing these Luann rumors. And I think her initial reaction was like, yeah, whatever. That's ridiculous. I was out with them, right? That would be any normal person's knee-jerk reaction. Like, he's not hooking up with Luann, Countess de Lesseps. Like, we're hooking up. I was at Watch What Happens Live. And then after the fact, okay. So after the fact, everything starts coming together for Danielle. So we know, and I'll go over it again. It's posted in Cocktail Party. So at some point, him and Luann are alone at a bar late night. They hook up. I mean, I have a trusted source who says 100% confirmed. Obviously, it's always allegedly, unless I get a picture of them doing it, which I don't particularly care to have, so don't send it. I'm not going to be able to post it anyway, and I don't need to see the porn. Yeah. Although maybe it might be hot. They're both hot. But we're getting off track. All right, if you have it, send it.
we'll be the judge. whether we post it or not.
I mean, Joe Bottles has to be packing because what else is this? Anyway, so now this is all swirling rumors that I have to imagine Danielle is making light of. And the next night there was a live podcast show. I believe it was a cool podcast, Bravo Brothers, Bravo Bros. And Danielle and Joe had been invited ahead of time. It was an appearance and they were supporting a content creator, which we love to see. We love when our Bravo Labs support us content creators. So they showed up together as planned previously. And they did a couple of, you know, pictures that were shared around on their stories and the Bravo Bros stories. All right, everything cool. However, now, was Danielle like not believing it? Was she thinking something happened, but like all eyes were on her? So she's saving face, which I could totally relate to that scenario. Behind the scenes, she is pissed. She flew out to LA the next day or the day after, because she's doing something in LA. I have no idea what. He's in Charleston. Obviously, he lives there. But when Danielle had already gone to LA and he hadn't yet left New York, we had a follower who said she bumped into Joe Bradley last night at the same spot he was at the night before. Catchy Subby, some New York City hotspot. Apparently, same owner as Surf Lodge. Remind me later to tell you about my cousin who was at Snow Lodge in Aspen and saw Robert and gave him daggers and said his food sucked. We'll talk about that after. So this person said he was there with Milkman, the new guy. Mm-hmm. The follower played it cool. She noticed the man bun first, then Joe. She went over and she just said, love your show. She said he was so nice and she could totally get his appeal because he was very charming and flirty. Milkman didn't talk as much, but Joe was super friendly and engaging. They asked how New York City was treating them. He said they were there for a week and he called out of work. I'm sure Leva loves that. And then the
And Oisin was sitting next, Milkman.
Right.
Oisin was sitting next to Danielle and talked a little bit too, because Oisin and Joe are like new besties now.
Right.
And Oisin is like one of the VIP people at Republic.
Thank you for catching us. Yeah. So Luann, so then she, of course, she's like, she said to me, she's like, I wanted to like say something and like get the scoop, but like he's being so nice or whatever. So she just says it's a joke. Oh, where's Luann? And he thankfully laughed and he goes, oh, she's cool. And then he said, and Danielle is super pissed.
Yeah.
So like, again, I'm pissed at Joe Bradley because like you're telling a follower, you know, these followers are sending it into accounts like me. And so Danielle is trying to play it cool. Now she's in LA. She's hoping the heat comes off, but you're letting us know that she's pissed, which obviously we all know. Haven't posted each other. Granted, they're not in the same city right now. I guess we'll see. Do they give it a go again? Does she call it off? Does he call it off? We know that he said he was pumping the brakes. But here's the other intel we got, Amanda, which you know. Ooh. Winterhouse is paused, right? Mm-hmm. We know that.
Yeah.
We broke that a couple weeks ago. Dumois also confirmed that they had heard it. So you have a lot of people saying that it's paused. Not canceled. It doesn't mean that it's not coming back in 2025. This year, they're not doing it for a variety of reasons. Other shows are filming. Things are going on. What have you. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was hoping for a spinoff on Winterhouse. So it's very much a coincidence that he put that Us Weekly article out about pumping the brakes was his first interview within days of hearing that there's no winter spinoff. Now, could he still be trying for Summer House? Well, you know, if you're not that into somebody, you might not do an 8-month phony shit for a spinoff, but he could have, you know, held on for the Winterhouse spinoff, which is a source, trusted source said, is exactly what he was doing. We had said ahead of time that he was using her. And it's fucked up. And I think that ultimately he fucking – he liked her. He hooked up with her. He didn't take it very seriously. And then he met Luann and he was like, ooh, I'm going to get with the hot countess. And now he's kind of just probably going to let it die. Does he come to New York and do they hook up again? Maybe. Does she go to Charleston and whatever? But he's not committing to her.
No, that's not going to be a thing. And I don't think he is capable of that. And I don't think – and we've said this on the show before. Like, Danielle is not capable of casual dating. And that's fine. Like, that is a completely okay thing. I think it's just a hard place to be in when you're a Bravo Lab.
Yes.
Hey, cocktailers, have you tried AG1? I first gave AG1 a try in January because while I try to keep my body fit and healthy, I admit it, I am definitely not the best about making sure I'm hitting all of my fruit and veggie servings every day. I heard about AG1 and thought it would be a great way to fill in the nutrient gaps so that I can better support my health. I have been drinking AG1 for a month now, and every day I'm feeling nourished. Not only does AG1 deliver my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more, but it's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. And it's so easy. Every morning I work out before my kids get up, so I come back, make sure the kids are up and moving, hop in the shower, and then I make and drink my AG1 while I'm making their lunches. The nice thing, too, is that because I've been working out with heavier weights lately, I've noticed that I need more when it comes to nutrient support. But AG1 covers my bases with high-quality ingredients like pre- and probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, and whole food source nutrients. I know if I drink it daily, I'm going to be on my A game and feel that extra boost. AG1 is the supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily, and that's why Bea and I are very excited to welcome them as a new partner to Cocktails and Gossip. If you want to take ownership of your health this year, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2. And 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/gossip. That's drinkag1.com/gossip. Check it out. So, and I also just have to say, guys, like, we could have just not brought any of this to you and just waited until more information came in, until we could watch what happens live. But I think one of the reasons that so many people like what we do is we put it out there even before we have all the details. And then we just keep adding as we get more in. So
yeah,
we've gotten some people who are like, I don't believe it. And like, we all know better, right? We all know better than celebrities don't always say what's really truly going on.
And I think that I understand the confusion of the timeline totally, because I didn't really explain it well last week, because I was kind of just hit with this info and just spilled it out. And I was right. Whenever these scandals hit, I'm always in shock, because it's like, what? Who?
Yeah.
But more importantly, the thing that Amanda and I have always said, I believe it's like at the top of our show and our pre-recorded whatever, is like, we don't always – like, after time, when other sources confirm and when it becomes public, obviously, like, there will be things that I can say with certainty. Like, when we broke that Lindsay and Carl ended their engagement, I didn't know. I got an email and I posted it, and it could have been bullshit. But if I don't post something because I think it's bullshit, then I risk not getting it out there, right? So –
yeah.
Everything we do is on a whim and a prayer, and we're so lucky that we have sources who really trust us and send us what's happening. And then there are, and I always try to note, and I think listeners know, like, when it's an email, unless I say, like, this is a good email, meaning, like, sometimes I take a bunch of information and put it in an email, but usually when it's a solid source, I write source. If I write source, that shit's going down. A lot of times I'll hear, like, I posted, like, possibilities for traitors. Margaret and Kenya are possible for traitors. That's from a source. Like, their name is in the hat, okay? They've been asked. Yeah. They've been spoken to. It's not confirmed. And I will follow up and say, Margaret's confirmed, Kenya isn't, or vice versa, or neither are, or both are. So, like, at this point, we are lucky that we're these people come to us and tell us stuff. And, like, it still amazes me that people do it, too. But I'm just saying, a lot of our stuff is not verified, and we put the puzzle together.
Right. Well, and I guess just kind of backing it all up from there, does anybody really believe that Luann is not capable of hooking up with Joe? Because I 100%
Well, if somebody would have sent me and said, Dorinda, I probably would have waited for more information before I did an hour-long podcast talking about Dorinda and Joe Bradley, because Dorinda has never dated younger. She's pretty discreet about her dating. I don't think she would do something so public unless it was going to turn into a relationship. She's just a different personality. I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong. It's just different personalities. So if somebody sent me that about Dorinda, I would have told you about it offline and waited for more info on that. But this was like, this is so plausible that I'm putting it out there. And then 100%. When Amanda and I watched Watch What Happens Live, we texted each other like, mother, girl, we did it again. Yeah. These two banged. I mean,
it was palpable. Like, she was hitting on him the entire time, and he was eating it up. He was definitely letting her do it.
And speaking of things that came in and we had no idea if it was true, Scandoval. That was our biggest ever. And I was on my daughter's school trip, and I get from a follower. So it wasn't an email and it wasn't a source, right? Because a source is somebody who's connected somehow, either a friend, direct friend, or whatever. This was somebody who knew Sandoval through – whose friend knew Sandoval because of a sibling. Like, it was a long connection, right? Your brother's friend's uncle's cousin's mother, right? So I'm like reading it, and I think I messaged you because I didn't even – like, I was like – this would have to be Raquel. So the follower said to me that the person who told her didn't watch Vanderpump. And so she was like, the follower who told me about the affair sent her friend a picture of Raquel. And the girl had seen them together, like at band rehearsal or whatever it was, and said, yeah, that's her. And I was like, no, it cannot be. And then I had like this immediate guilt of like, because at this point, it also told me that, like, Ariana had caught with the phone and the whole thing, and it was going to come out, right? Mm-hmm. So at first, I was like, well, she already knows, and I'm going to be the asshole who makes it public. But I'll never forget what a bunch of my friends, Allie, Larry, Sarah, all the accounts that I chat with when I first got the Brandy and From Dallas thing. Mm-hmm. If you don't post it, the next person's going to. And that's just the reality. And, you know, I do definitely feel guilty, but there's also a thing. You put yourself on a reality show and you choose to cheat on your spouse or significant other. That's on you. I mean, I didn't put her on your lap in the car in front of your home with Ariana.
No, of course not.
You know?
Of course not. Yeah. Yeah. And guys, like, we also will say, like, sometimes we don't get it all the way right. And like, we're
100%
okay with that. So
especially Cass and stuff. Like, we got an email this week. The email was about Salt Lake City, and it said that these two girls, one of them very young, like 25 years old, and another one who's in the orbit of Monica, were being casted. And I was contacted by, I can't say who, but I'll just tell you, they're not being casted. They spoke with them last season as a possibility, and they never got past the first Zoom. So, so that was off. So I posted that publicly for Bravo and Cocktails for everyone to read as two people who were possibly being considered. And I was told, yeah, that's not true. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so that wasn't true, but I still share it. Right. Because a lot of times when I share that, somebody sends me, I don't know who sent you this, but Jen Smith is actually the one being casted and she's best friends with Whitney. And, but you know, like that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, so I'm sure you – I mean, I actually went back and watched end of the – like the season finale of Vanderpump and then the reunion and then watch, because again, I haven't been feeling great. So I had some TV watching time. So it's been kind of a nice little refresher. Actually, one of our cocktailers was like, oh, you guys should watch the quick, it's like a 30-minute thing on, I think it was on Peacock, and it was about like the last 10 years of Vanderpump. And it was actually very helpful to remember all of the different like ins and outs and how everything went down when Tom and Kristen broke up. And then anyway,
I think I watched that like at the end of last season. I think they played that.
Probably. Yeah. I think it had been out for a little bit. I just, like I said, had some time on my hands this week. So, I mean, what did you think of the premiere?
You know, you can't make everybody happy. I thought it was fantastic. I want to start because there's a lot of stuff to break down. Avi, as the kids say. But let's start with Lala and her making an inroads, right? So if Raquel were to come back, she basically put it out there as she was the one willing and ready to film with her, bring her back into the fold. The conversation with Lisa about her relating to Raquel, because she herself had been called a mistress. And I thought it was really interesting when she said, and you know what, Lisa, everything everyone said about me was true. I was the other woman. And she's never said that. And I think it was important for her to accept responsibility for that, especially because she was so hard on Raquel. Yeah. And had been guilty of, and listen, and she said, like, I was not best friends with his wife. Okay, but you still were the other woman, right?
Well, and I think from Lala's perspective, and only Lala and Randall will really ever know the full truth of what was discussed between the two of them, but I think, you know, Lala was believing what Randall was saying, and he could have said, like, you know, the divorce has been in proceedings for a long time. It's just not official yet.
And that's what she said. You
know, who knows?
She said what she said to Lisa was the part that she really related to was when in the after interview, after the reunion, when Raquel said, I'm scared to tell you guys everything because if I go against him, I don't have anybody. And Lala said that she felt at a point in her relationship with Randall, like, but if I leave him, what do I have? So like, I've put all my eggs in this one basket kind of thing. Okay. So then she goes outside and we watch her send the voice note. Whether she got it or not, we don't know because she may have been blocked, whatever. So what I found interesting was she did come clean to Ariana, but after first saying to Ariana, I have to tell you, like, I don't know where we stand, right? So she says this with Katie and Sheena there. And Ariana's like, what are you talking about? Like, we're great friends. She's like, are we? Because I don't really feel like you fully embrace me. And Ariana is like totally unarmed. And she's just like, no, I love you and your support and we're great friends. You are my inner circle now. I don't want you to feel that way. I want you to feel that how I really feel about you, which is I genuinely love you and trust you and all of this, right? And it was a beautiful moment. And then Lala drops the bomb that she – so it's like, if you felt this way, maybe prior to sending the voice note, you have that conversation with Ariana. But she didn't, because we have to face facts here. This is a big cast. The ultimate goal is relevancy and screen time.
Right.
You know, she's a lot like Sheena, Lala. In that way.
I think she's a lot like Tamra.
Yes.
You know, I think she is going to be loyal to herself and her family first. And I don't think anybody is that surprised by that. I think Ariana expected someone to break rank at some point and be like, oh, I empathize with Raquel, but I can't imagine it. I think she must have been shocked that it was Lala, because Lala went so hard after her at the reunion, and that it was so soon, that it was literally like night one,
yeah,
essentially, of filming.
So at her book signing last night, we had a lot of followers that were there, and they said that Ariana said that production made Lala send the voice note and all of that, and she isn't upset with Lala. However, I'm not sure I 100% believe this, because on Lala's podcast, she's been saying that she listened to a bit of Raquel's podcast and she found it interesting. She also said that she agrees with Raquel, that she thinks it's a red flag to get in a relationship with somebody right after a breakup, which is a dig at Ariana, coupled with the fact that on Watch What Happens Live, when Lala was on Watch What Happens Live, she said that Ariana has bad taste in boyfriends. And she said it as like a current statement, you know? So,
yeah. I don't know. I think I've got a bunch of thoughts here. So with Lala, we know that Lala and Ariana have a fight during the season. We don't know necessarily what it was about. But watching the show, I was like, maybe this is what it's about. Maybe Ariana gets pissed that she reached out to Raquel. Who knows? But it's actually not the first time that Lala shades. I mean, she says it in the premiere that, you know, Ariana got right into a relationship. So I don't know.
And like I said, do I think Lala there's a little bit Lala. Of projection with that, because I don't think, sure, she's making it her storyline, but I don't think she's deceiving us. I think that she really has trauma from her relationship with Randall.
Yes.
And I think that she can't imagine right after all of that starting to date one person so seriously. Like, we know she's dated around and hooked up and stuff like that, but to date one person, I think to her, she finds that crazy. Like, and everybody's different, right? And what's right for one person isn't right for the next. So I do think that's projecting, like, something's off here. How could she, after that traumatic experience, even though it was different, it was a huge betrayal in the same way it was with Randall, how could she just jump into this serious relationship with this guy?
Yeah. Well, and it makes me wonder if there's more to what Tom Sandoval has been saying, which is that Ariana knew it was over for a long time. And that's why Ariana was able to kind of hop into something else, because she was kind of over it. And again, we don't really know.
I think that that's very tricky, though. I think that that's tricky. You can relate to this, I know. Anyone who's been in a long relationship can relate to this. Because you can be in a bad place with somebody and then things can get better, right? And there are peaks and valleys in relationships. So I don't think it's fair for anyone to pick. Like, yes, she jumped into this relationship with this guy quickly, but it doesn't mean that she was prepared for her relationship to end, because they
– no. That's
you know true. What I'm saying? Like, they had a lot of peaks and valleys in their relationship. There were other points, and then things got better and they worked things out and they had great years. When you're in a years-long relationship, there are times that are better than others. It doesn't mean – and when you're at a low, of course, there is that possibility that you're going to split with your partner. But then – it works out, and then you have a great stretch of time, and then there's a low again. So you know what I'm saying? Like, in 9 years, it couldn't have been their only low point. So I don't really buy that. Well, and we watched it. We saw that there were issues there, but that she was very committed to the relationship. You know what I mean?
She was, and very supportive. I mean, she was there front row supporting the band the night that all the shit went down. You know, and like I also look at Daniel, who we're just seeing on FaceTime. And I'm like, maybe that's a safe relationship for her because he lives in her phone for the most part.
Right.
You know, yes, she sees him a little bit.
Like Giselle.
But yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
And
but
there are some people, women and men, both, that when you're so used to having somebody, you will just hop into it. Not that it's going to be a forever thing, but you're so used to having somebody that going from that to nothing.
Yeah.
Because even at their lowest point, they were friends, right? Because he'll even say, we were roommates, we were just friends. Okay, but she had you to bounce ideas off of, to talk to process through. Like, we see it with Lisa Hochstein, right? She jumped right in with Jody, and certainly I don't think she's ready and hasn't processed her divorce. And we watch her bouncing everything off of Jody, but like, some people need to have somebody there.
Right. Yeah. And maybe it's that, and that's a safe. He's safe because he's not in the same city, and there's not the, you know, and she
and
is
he's
so
not
busy.
Famous, and he's not on Bravo, and he's probably very enamored with her success and fame and beauty, and looks aren't everything, but he's not a great looking guy in my opinion. He's got a great build, but he's a very kind of average guy. I mean, he's a bartender, personal trainer, and now he's with a. Arguably the most talked about person celebrity. Of the year. Not yeah. just Bravo celebrity. Yeah. Like, everybody knows Ariana now.
Right. Absolutely. Did you listen to – well, I listened. Did you listen to the Nick Viall podcast
Parts.
With Sandoval and Schwartz?
Parts.
Okay.
I know enough because everybody sent me synopsises.
Oh, yeah.
Which I mean, love you guys. Always do that.
I know. It's so good. So – I listened and it was long. It was like an hour and 45, I want to say, partially because Sandoval was like 40 something minutes late. And so what they did is they decided to start recording anyway with Schwartz there. So he was definitely on the hot seat for a while until Sandoval got there. But I mean, all I can say, guys, is you don't need to listen. I mean, listen to it. Sorry, I'm not saying don't listen to it. But there is nothing really new in there. It was, and it, I just walked away being like, this man has learned jack shit from this experience. He says a lot of outlandish stuff that he said before. He takes zero accountability. He blamed Ariana for being mean to him for, he said that, you know, she didn't have sex with him, that he would bring the only joy in their relationship, that she hasn't paid a bill in 8 months, that she's being really petty. It's like he has not learned a freaking thing.
And how about when he says, I will never cheat in that way again, but you still cheat.
Uh-huh. That guy, he can't. He just
and
can't.
It sounded like he was like wasted.
He sounded off. I think, you know, he said he'd been crying all night, that he was still just processing the death of his childhood friend, you know, and I don't know. I just don't think the man can ever be wrong.
Right.
And I will say, like, Tom Schwartz has just adopted this tap dancing routine where, you know, we saw him do it on Watch What Happens Live. We saw him do it on Two Teas in a Pod.
We're going to get to him because
see him. Yeah,
in the words of Bethany Frankel, you can't play smart and stupid at the same time. And Tom Sandoval is very smart. He is manipulative and smart. It pisses me off. I don't think Sandoval is half as IQ-wise intelligent as Schwartz. I think Schwartz, if we were to give him an IQ test, I bet you he's got like a genius IQ. Yeah. I think that's why Katie stayed interested in him in so long, because I think that Katie
is really smart.
And I think that behind closed doors, when you're smart, people are very interesting. And he's so tricky. We'll get to him after this because we want to discuss the house issues, but he fucking pisses me off. Possibly
the other big thing. I'm really kind of getting there because at least Sandoval is what he is. Like Schwartz
still has so many people fooled, which bothers me.
He does.
But not Ariana.
No. And so the big thing that like people are really all like up in arms about coming out of this podcast is that Sandoval says he offered $3.1 million to buy Ariana out. So I think what he meant by that is not that he would pay her $3.1 million, but that he would value the house at 3.1 when they bought it for $2 million, and that she would take her half out of that. He would pay her based on that 3.1 valuation is what I think he meant. If he really was like, I will give you $3.1 million to walk out, then I think she would do it. So I don't think the way that he was saying it was not actually what he's doing. And so we actually had a follower who is an expert in law and real estate who shared this with us. So I wanted to read this for everybody because it made sense when we read it. There is a lot of misunderstanding about the property being tied to the bar. Let me clear that up. Tom took out a home equity loan, which is the second loan on the house after the mortgage. The house, not the bar, is the collateral for the loan. But he then used the money for the bar. Ariana and Tom are both responsible for repaying that loan, although we saw in a previous season that Ariana seemed to misunderstand this as she thought it only came from Tom's half of the house, and that half of the house is in quotes. However, Ariana and Tom co-own the property jointly. Now Tom's technically is correct in saying that Ariana is not suing him directly. What she did is file a motion for a partition order. A partition order is necessary as they are not married and there is no other legal recourse for her to have the assets divided or for her to force a sale or to ensure that she can get a fair market value price now that negotiations have stalled. With a partition order, the court will use forensic accounting and determine an equitable way to divide the property. Assuming they force a sale, first the mortgage, then the home equity loan will be paid, as well as any remaining taxes or liens. Then, assuming there is any remaining profit, the court will make a determination as to the proper proportion allocated to each party. It could be 50-50, or it could be determined that one party is more deserving of a higher proportion of the profits based on evidence. Without knowing any more, the only thing that I could see, and I highly doubt it, is if Tom somehow committed some type of fraud or inducement or, God forbid, forgery in obtaining the second mortgage and email.
So, you know, it's funny because you always hear, you know, there are things you always hear and you don't necessarily, maybe it's just me, because I don't, like, you don't necessarily know exactly why, right? Like when you're younger, but something I always heard and I want to know is like, never buy a property with somebody if you're not married to them. Mm-hmm. And so I think this was an explanation. And so like any real estate attorney could probably share with us what was just shared, which it gets so complicated. And this is why. The follower added that it seems that Tom just misled Ariana, similar to Juicy, Joe, and Teresa, although they were married. But, you know, when she just signed documents, Ariana didn't educate herself as to what she was signing. Now, I do remember, because of what I just said, which is like you always hear people say don't buy a house unless you're married. Mm-hmm. And then I remember, I guess the season, which is a couple seasons ago now, when they all bought their houses in the Valley and Jax was still on whatever. I remember in someone's confessional, they kind of shaded her and Tom. And they were like, you know, Ariana's so against marriage, but it's actually a worse move to not be married and buy something with somebody, because if you're married, you can get divorced. And like in the case of Katie and Tom, we're watching these two similar situations, except Katie and Tom's was very easy because they were married. They had the legal protection to work it out through that, which Ariana does not have. So
right,
listeners, let's not buy homes unless we're married. And like, there is no way to have your half of the house and his half of the house, which is how we heard Ariana in prior seasons describe it. Like that doesn't, it doesn't work out like that. It's not like a vacation.
Unless where they, you, yeah. Unless they
me
sell
and you
it
go to and Mexico and it costs $3,000 and we each pay $1,500. That's not how right. this cookie crumbles.
Because they, even if they sell, were to sell it, there would still be no order of the court telling them how they have to split those proceeds.
Right.
AKA, if let's say he took out a $500,000 second mortgage, then Ariana would have no recourse unless she gets this partition order. Because if let's say they sell it for three and they make, you know, $2 million off of this, then, and guys, don't come after me with this math, please, on the profit. But if there's $2 million left, you would think, well, Ariana should get more of that because Tom took out a $500,000 loan. But if there's no court saying this, then
right.
they might have to just split it down the middle. which is would be unfortunate if he did mislead her.
And that brings us to the next absolutely irritating part of the podcast, where Tom is trying to take this complicated legal situation in which Ariana stands to lose a lot of money and decides to call her petty. And I do think that in his little warped brain, he believes she's just doing this because she's mad about – it's like, yeah, okay, she's mad, but she's also trying to handle this in the best interests of her finances, which any person would do. Buying her out, as he says, will not help the situation, as Amanda just explained for us. He seems totally detached from reality. And then he kept saying, when my parents split, my dad kept the house. When my stepdad and his wife split, he kept the house. Okay, that's how they worked it out in their divorce agreement.
Right.
Every situation is different, you freaking Looney Tune. And the
a lot of people sell the house when they get divorced. Like, that is probably the most common scenario.
Well, because I think it comes down to dollars and cents. And when two incomes are going into a household, you can afford one sort of home. And for most people, when those two incomes have to support two separate households, they can no longer remain in that standard of living, right? So if I live in a $500,000 house and I'm using two incomes to pay for it, and now I have to pay for two homes based on the same earnings, we're both going to have to get an apartment for $250,000. I mean, it's simple. I'm not good at math, but it's quite simple to figure out. But I love that he's like, and how can I move? I built a gym and I got solar panels. Like, now she expects me to move? What?
I cannot with him. I cannot.
But you know what? Always, always throwing us off. Today he posts some beautiful girl all hugged up with him on his Instagram stories. I clicked her.
Yeah.
She's private. A lot of people said she was public, but she's not a famous person, but obviously she must be an influencer or some model, whatever.
She had like 330,000 followers. So my clearly she must have been public at some point.
The Cocktailers let me know that not only is she friends with Lenny Hochstein's mistress, Katharina, she used to date, and I use date very loosely, but she is attached to Leonardo DiCaprio, who you know is like my laminated list top five. I mean, at one time he was number one, but he's aging. And he only dates 25-year-olds, so I feel perfectly comfortable saying that.
Yeah. Like,
imagine going from Leonardo DiCaprio to Tom Sandoval. Yikes.
I mean, I would say maybe she's doing it for the fame, but she went private on her Instagram. Who knows?
Sometimes it's better to go private because then everybody requests you, and that's how you really get your followers up. Otherwise, people just lurk.
I hope she is making sure he's wrapping it up. Let's just put it that way. I know. So let's talk about Schwartz. Back to Schwartz and like this episode.
Well, I just found it awfully convenient for Schwartz. And he's one of those people that like has dumb luck, even though I have already said that I think he's a genius. That the first episode, Sandoval's away filming his reality show. I believe that was Special Forces. I didn't watch it. So we see Schwartz meeting with James and buddying up. I actually posted – I asked a question, and later maybe on Cocktail Pod we'll get to that because you guys had great ideas for who should be on Traitors next time. I said my toxic trait is that like I just love James Kennedy. I just find him – so endearing, and I love his one-liners. Don't mistake me. I know that he's a lot of things, but his scene with Schwartz did what Schwartz intended it to do. It aligned him with who people, quote-unquote, are calling the new number one guy. It showcased his humor and his, oh, I'm just a silly fella who has been friends with Tom for so long and everyone else left him. Like, what could I really do? And then James is like, you're your best Tom when you're just Schwartz. And it just played into his whole narrative.
Yeah, 100%.
And – you know, then James hosts this event at Tom Tom. All the ladies go, listen, we know they're filming. We know that's why everybody was there. Ariana wouldn't go otherwise. So Ariana's like, I'm done with Schwartz. He went on Watch What Happened Live and told people to give Tom a hug. And I text him some nasty shit. She's like, I don't remember what I said. I think it was pretty tame. And Schwartz reads it in his confessional. And he's like, she told me, fuck you. Don't ever contact me again. Choke on Sandoval's dirty dick.
Yeah. So funny.
So here's Schwartz going over to her. Hi, can I get you anything? And like wanting to be her friend and boo-hoo. And then goes in his confessional and calls her the patron saint of infidelity or whatever, however he worded it. Like if you
– Scorned women. Scorned women.
Scorned women.
Like, fuck. Like not even being cheated on, but like scorned women.
And ugh. You notice
– Gross.
Watching the reunion, because before I started the episode the other night, the last reunion was on. He more than once – and she corrected him the first time and then he went on to say it a couple more times. I told him this would be mortifying – for Ariana, and she kept going, mortifying for me? What do you mean? It's mortifying for him and her. Like, I'm not mortified. And it's just his way of degrading. And we watched him do it to Katie for years and manipulate and degrade while somehow getting away with not looking like the bad guy. And it drives me nuts.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I gotta say, like, listening to him on that podcast and then watching the first episode, it sent me, because I'm like, here's Schwartz. He's going around shaking hands and kissing babies to get himself in a better light with the cast. And it seems like it's fucking working. Like, he's such a politician. And like, he's continuing, like I said, this like doofusy act where we all know he's much smarter than he makes himself out to be. And he's like, here, James, here's a plant and a candle. And he like comes out looking like the nicest guy ever. And, you know, he goes to Katie, like, do you want to come inside? Can I make you a drink? And she's like, I guess. Like, you can tell she's super annoyed too. So I don't know. I feel like we're seeing through the manipulation.
Yeah. And I think more people are, you know. But Amanda, Sheena's gonna Sheena.
Oh, God.
Every time I watch her, because she's Amanda's bitch who eat crackers. If you're new here, a bitch who eat crackers is somebody, a bitch who eats crackers.
Bitch eating crackers, B-E-C.
Is somebody who, it doesn't matter what they do, they could just be standing there eating a cracker and it annoys you. So Shishu was always Amanda's. And then we sort of had sympathy for her when, like, Raquel accused her of beating her up and all that, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
But one thing about Sheena is no matter the situation, she's going to make it about Sheena. And at one point, she goes, at one point, this scandal made me think, could this happen to me? Would Brock do this to me? And I'm like, yeah, he would do it to you. He left two children in Australia to move to America and smacked their mother around. Like, listen, God willing, he has evolved. He seems to be better and whatever. But, like, is he capable of it? You know what he's capable of.
Yeah. And it's too bad that Sheena's in that position with Brock, right, versus somebody who's just, like, a stand-up guy. Because I actually think that's a very natural – if something like that happens to your good friend, like, a natural kind of anxiety response to seeing that happen to your good friend. Like, could this happen to me? But – I 100% had the same reaction, because I'm like, yeah, like, I mean, Brock left half of a family, like his own kids. So, yeah.
Right. On some level, whenever you hear a crazy story, and not necessarily cheating either, God forbid you hear a health issue, you know, you hear that somebody's husband has a heart attack at 45 and passes away, you think in your head, oh my God. The first thing you think is that poor woman. And then the second thing you think is, oh my God, this could happen to anybody, right? Because anything can happen to anybody, right? What you don't do is make it your storyline. Like, it doesn't become about you because you have a fleeting moment of thinking it could happen. I don't know. It's just, she's just annoying. But then we have James and Allie in their cute little house with planes constantly flying overhead. Which I thought was really funny on the producer's part. And I like that they sort of were in on the joke. We know. I think he paid over $1 million. And it's California. And it's like Beverly Hills or Hollywood, whatever. The Valley, whatever it is. Those homes are very expensive.
Burbank is great. It's like the best airport to fly into. It's like very central. And like it would, I mean, other than the plane situation, I think it's very central place to live. So, I mean, that part makes sense. And I do know you can't fly into Burbank after, like, I want to say 7 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Because of noise.
That's cool.
Yeah, because of noise. Because it is, it's literally like if you were trying to fly in to, like, you know, I don't know. Like, it's just a very central area of town. So,
I mean, I live in New York City, so the planes be flying. Yeah. He's back to not drinking. He looks healthy. He looks happy. I think, although I love him, I think he really isn't an easy person to be in a relationship with. Yeah. I think Callie sober is his best bet because, listen, weed is self-medication. He clearly is a very high-strung person, right? He's on edge. He's got a lot of – I'm not a doctor. I don't know if it's anxiety. I don't know if it's just a personality trait. But certainly, I'm sure weed mellows him out. Good for him. The drinking, we've seen it not agree with him. Katie, the best she's ever looked. She's thriving. She's happy. She's healthy. I actually have an update on the sandwich shop. It's getting closer. It's all a city permit issue. And, you know, I learned today that they're getting closer. Like, my hope is that by the time the season is, like, before it's done and they're, like, filming the reunion, it'll be open because it's just city permit issues. I think, obviously, Ariana being on Broadway may affect it. But at this point, if it's just permit issues, I would imagine Katie's going to get it up and open while Ariana's on Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a question, and I don't really – I'm literally asking because I don't know the answer to this. But, like, with alcohol, people would be seriously concerned about somebody if somebody was waking up in the morning and drinking and then going to the gym and then drinking throughout the day, right? But with weed, I don't understand why – like, why is that not concerning that – James is like, I wake up, I smoke weed. I go to the gym, I smoke more weed. Like,
I mean, listen.
Is that an unfair comparison, alcohol and weed? I don't know.
I'm not somebody who smokes like that, obviously. But I think what I just said about self-medicating is, again, I'm not a doctor, but I sort of feel like some people that use weed use it in the way that somebody might use, like, a pharmaceutical drug that kind of calms your nerves, like a Lexapro or like something like a – I'm not an expert on any of this, so Lexapro may not be the same one, but like a mood stabilizer. So there are people, and I really don't know, but there are people who will say, like, well, if you're taking a pharmaceutical, isn't it better to, like, do marijuana, which is more natural? Right? So I don't know.
Well, and James doesn't seem particularly, like, high.
Well, that's because I think it's like self-medicating, like it's mellowing him out. Now, the thing about it, and also, you know, I would hope he isn't operating a vehicle. I would hope his job is in a nightclub, so it's not like he's doing somebody's taxes high. Like, it's not like he's it's not like he's doing heart surgery high. Like, those, like, I don't want my you know, my surgeon smoking up like that. But like, his career and lifestyle sort of lend it. He isn't a parent, so he's not dropping a kid. He's not a parent teacher night high. I think as your life changes, listen, when I was in college, I liked weed and it was fine. Like, it didn't interfere with my academics. I didn't have a family. I wasn't driving because I didn't get my license until I was 21, which is another story. And probably everyone's like, what?
Huh?
So, like, for that time of my life, okay, smoking is dangerous and inhaling is bad. So from that point of view, but, like, as far as, like, was I, like, a crackhead? I really wasn't. Me and my friends, after classes, if we weren't going out to the bar, we would, like, split a joint, have a couple puffs. I was 18, 19, 20, a couple times a week. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
Yeah, that's – I just like this whole Cali sober thing. I don't know. It's just interesting to me. And I literally just asking the question because I don't know the answer, but I think what you were saying absolutely makes sense.
Yes.
I don't know.
I don't know. And also, Amanda, we're in a different age bracket. I think, like – listen, I think that if you smoke weed all day long, I do think that over the course of time you will be burnt. You'll be burnt out. Weed fries you out. It affects your memory. I think. Don't come at me. I know there's a lot of people who love weed. My experience, and when I was in college, I loved it. I'm not saying I never do it now. I'm just saying I feel like in that era of my life, like I was kind of forgetful. It could be that I was just young and dumb and whatever, but I don't know. So yeah, too much of anything. I like it too.
I just, it's very much a like, kids are not around, like very much like a Friday night recreational, like
totally
watch a movie kind of thing. So because like I, when I do it, I just feel like I get,
but you know what?
Like that is the speed of where I can move is watching a movie on the couch.
But when we're older, right? And we don't know, like when we're older and we're retired, so we don't have the work responsibilities and our kids are adults and we're not babysitting grandkids. Like, who's to say that we wouldn't indulge more how we did when we were younger? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, different stages of your life.
We'd play golf.
Listen, I love...
play Mahjong.
Right? So, or, like, even sit on the beach. Like, listen, when I'm 60 and I'm retired with my husband and my kids are grown and I'm on a beach in whatever part of the world, oh, because... You saw where I'm going. From paradise, right?
I know where we're yes. going.
Guys, if you don't know where I'm from, I found out from my family genie. She's a genealogist. She's got like a PhD in it. She's a pro. She's incredible. Check her out. That I'm from a part of Italy called Vieste. I studied abroad in Italy. I've been all over. I never heard of it. It's paradise. It makes the Amalfi Coast look like a dump. So when I'm there, when I'm 60, I could very well sit on that beach and smoke a joint every day. I don't know. I pass no judgment. My thing is always like, and again, you can't win because there are people that are going to be like, oh, that's called a functioning alcoholic. But to me, I feel like if it doesn't impact your work, your children, your marriage, your relationships, if you have a martini every night, two martinis every night, and you wake up and you get your job done and you parent and you whatever, that's your business.
Yeah.
You know, and like I can't drink vodka every night because to be honest, I need more sleep than I'm able to get on weeknights because of work. I get a headache. You know what I'm saying? So I can't personally do that. But there are people who don't get the headache I get. Right. And so like, who am I to pass judgment?
Too much of it. A lot of things can be bad for a relationship. I know of people who have gotten divorced because one person in the relationship was like an ultra marathon person and like was gone so much because they were training so much.
What about video games?
Too much.
Yeah. Like I have two friends and like now this is years ago, but when they first got married, their biggest issue with their husbands in their marriage was video games because they would like go in their guest bedroom, whatever. None of them had kids at the time. And like after work and they would play video games and they're like, I'm like eating dinner by myself because he's playing. And like, so too much of anything is too much. Now you would never be like, if somebody was like, my husband and I are fighting because of video games, you would think, okay, this one's crazy. But if you learned that the husband was playing video games from the time they got home from work until they went to bed and neglecting their wife, you'd be like, oh, that's a problem in a marriage.
That's a problem. Right. For sure. I totally agree.
We did not get to Beverly Hills, which is okay. Because I feel like we've talked about Beverly Hills a lot. So we can get to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good episode, though. So if you guys haven't watched, watch it. It felt old school Beverly Hills to me.
Yes.
Minus Crystal's health situation. Yes. So.
I thought it was really cool that both Beverly Hills and Miami had scenes in churches, and in both situations, and we're not going to get into the whole thing of it, Marisol said something that I thought was really powerful. She said
churches unite people,
and she also said when everyone in the group has the same energy, powerful things can happen. Mm-hmm. And we watched that in Miami and we watched that in Beverly Hills, and I think that both, especially Beverly Hills, We need those moments of genuine things that happen between the group of women that binds them and that makes them connected. And when we don't have that and it's just toxic and it's just asking Kyle about her marriage and if it's just insulting Sutton and if it's just – it becomes like, why are these people hanging out together? Do you know what I'm saying? Like even though we know they're filming a show, there still has to be a tie that binds.
100%. It was, both of them were great episodes, I actually thought. So,
Cocktail.
So, yeah.
Cocktailers, we love you. Thank you so much. We know there are literally a million podcasts. Half of them are by Teddy and Tamara now. listen, no hate. God bless. If you're able, yeah. I'd record four a week too if I was doing it like you.
Yeah.
I actually, we couldn't. We don't have time for that. But if I was able to. But anyway, I digress. The fact that you guys choose us every week, in spite of the fact that Amanda, I'm shocked you didn't text me. Somebody wrote, B has the most annoying voice I've ever heard.
Ugh.
And I'm like, I do believe that I have an annoying voice. I don't think it's the most annoying voice.
It's not. Doesn't everybody think their own voice is annoying? I find my own voice super annoying.
Oh, of course. I find it super annoying.
I you know what? I think that person should go start a podcast.
Yeah, but I also appreciate them for tuning in and listening. Because they may hate my voice, but hey, boo, I'm sure you're back this week. On that note, we love you guys. I love it. Have a great weekend because you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday. And try to find something to do that lets you chill out. If it's smoke a big blunt like James Kennedy, so be it.
Enjoy.
Bye, guys.
Enjoy. Maybe I'll do that this weekend. Bye.
What's up, cocktailers? We want to thank you, as always, for listening to Cocktails and Gossip. Because of you, we've hit some amazing milestones, had some hilarious conversations, and have grown a truly amazing community. If you haven't already followed our podcast, hit the follow button in the top right of your Apple Podcast player, the follow button under the show logo on Spotify, or the subscribe button on Google Podcasts. We thrive on you, our audience. So make sure to tell all your gossip-loving friends about us too. And if you want to get all the tea, join our membership, Cocktail Party, by going to bravoandcocktails.com/join. Our members get access to the exclusive tea we post, the weekly podcast without ads, plus another additional bonus podcast every week. And of course, members also get to join us on our monthly live cocktail party Zoom, where we talk about the latest tea and even share tea that's just too hot to put in writing. Last, but maybe best, our members get access to the Cocktail Party Discord, where you can chat with Amanda, me, and all of the other cocktailers as well. There are always some great combos and hilarious comments happening in Discord. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate you.